Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Certainly the events surrounding the birth of Christ are supernatural. The warnings by the angel to these wise men, another indication of that. The announcement to Joseph and to Mary by the angels, testimony to that. The angel's testimony to Zechariah concerning the birth of John the Baptist as the forerunner of Jesus, another testimony to that, and this star appearing, another testimony to that. And here we find these men who were not accustomed to the temple worship of Jerusalem, apparently, and yet God had so worked that they would come and find the one who was not only the king of the Jews, but their king as well, king of all. And it's interesting, as Angel pointed out in his Christmas letter, that when they came with their gifts, the first thing they did was not give the gifts, but the first thing they did was to worship. And so it is with us. God doesn't really need our contributions. He doesn't really need what we can do for him. What he wants is our hearts. What he wants is our worship. And these men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold we know about. Gold, a sign of royalty, and wherever there are kings, there, if possible, if they have the access to this metal, they will get it. Gold being a symbol of power and of wealth. But the other two spices we're not so familiar with, and yet they were used in burial, as we find the women coming to the tomb with spices. We're not told which ones, but myrrh was used for that purpose, and frankincense was used also for incense in the temple. And these spices are indicating, perhaps in God's way of revealing himself, that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was not even an ordinary king. He was going to be doing something that no one else had ever done or could ever do. He was going to offer himself as a whole offering to his Father. He was going to complete the priesthood, the work of the sacrificial system, and he was going to rise from the dead. Death would not hold him. Now, perhaps these three men, or if it was three, I don't know if there were three, these wise men didn't know all that. Probably not. But God used their coming to Jesus at this very early stage in his life as a testimony to his purpose for coming. It wasn't simply to be a local king, but it was to be the king of all. And we come here today and we celebrate the coming of Christ, but it's not simply that he has come as a great teacher, although he was, or a miracle worker, which he was, but we come because he was the one who fulfilled all that was required by God for a person to approach him, and that is he came to give his life to be the high priest and also the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. And we celebrate this bread with this bread and this cup because death could not hold him. And although he did indeed die, he rose again from the dead. And so this is not a memorial service in the sense of remembering a man from the past, but this is a looking forward to that which is yet to come, the completion of what all God has given to us in the marriage celebration of the Lamb and all that God has prepared for his people. So this bread and this cup look back to what Jesus has accomplished in his death and resurrection. It talks of the present moment that we are now in his presence and we belong to him if indeed we are his children. And it looks forward to the future when we see him face to face. This bread and this cup are for those who know that Jesus is indeed their only hope. And they're the one who has secured their salvation by his sacrificial death. And they've placed their lives in his hands. And they've testified to that through baptism. And so they have said, I belong to Christ. He is mine and I'm his. And we're in this covenantal relationship together. And we've also declared ourselves to be part of the body, part of the bride of Christ. And so we ask, if even though you've been baptized perhaps and you know that you belong to Christ but you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're not part of a particular church, that you wait until you are so united with a local body before you take this bread and this cup, because that's what it speaks of. It says I'm part of the body. I'm part of the body of Christ, the visible organism that God has given for the carrying out of his work until we see him face to face. So the king has come. He has been born. He's accomplished his purpose. He's died. He's resurrected. And he is going to return in all of his glory one day. Or we are going to go see him face to face. But in either case, we have much to give thanks to the Lord for. Let's stand and sing as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together.